Need the microphone, but I'll go ahead and use it for recording purposes. Amen. My name is Chandler O'Brien. I'm 20 years old. I just turned 20 3 weeks ago, actually. So you know, I'm a youngin. I'm a young whippersnapper, a lot of people like to say. And you know, the Lord has blessed me. He saved me at the age of four. And you know, you don't hear that quite often. And, you know, I've had many old preacher men come up to me and say, "Now, Chandler, you really think that's possible?" And I say, "Yes, sir, I do, because I'm the product of it." Amen. Hey, the Bible says that we ought to have childlike faith. Amen. So I believe that a child can get saved. Amen. All you got to do is put your faith and trust in Him. And as a four-year-old boy, I can remember my father setting me down at the couch whenever I began to ask questions of how to get saved, and I began to ask questions of the gospel, because I knew, even as a four-year-old boy, I knew that I was in need of a Savior. I knew that I could not earn my way to heaven, and I knew that without Christ, I was on my way to hell. And as a four-year-old boy, I can remember my father on a Wednesday evening at about 9 o'clock. I was scared to death. I thought for sure I was going to die on the way home. And I remember as soon as we got home, my father set me down. He took me through the Romans Road. It worked for him. It worked for my papa. It worked for my great-grandfather. Bless God, it'll work for me, amen. I'm still for the old past this morning, praise God. And it worked for me. And I can remember just as a four-year-old boy praying and asking Christ to come into my heart and to save me. And after that, you want to know what happened? I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. And ain't nothing changed ever since, amen. This morning, all I want to do is just tell y'all a little bit about Jesus and what He means to me. But before I get into the message, you know, I brought one of my dearest friends, Brother Chad. He's a friend of your pastor's as well. And he comes from Taze Valley Baptist Church. Brother Chad, you go and make your way up here. I'll give you a little bit about Brother Chad's testimony. Brother Chad, he's 18 years old. And let me just go and say this. You know, the Lord... He spared Brother Chad. The doctors told his parents that he wouldn't make it past age 15. See, Brother Chad, he was born into a drug-infested family. And Satan had grasped a hold of him tightly. And without the intervention and the preservation of God, Brother Chad wouldn't be able to stand here this morning. But you see, Brother Chad, he was abandoned by everybody that ever loved him. And thank God there was two war horses, that's what I like to call them. Two war horses that wanted to love those that were unlovable. They wanted to care for those that nobody cared about. And they adopted Brother Chad and his brother and brought him in, started taking him to Taze Valley Baptist Church. See, the doctor said that Brother Chad wouldn't be able to talk. Okay, the doctor said that he wouldn't be able to walk. They said that he wouldn't be able to have a functioning mind. And if he was able to even live up to the age 15, that would surely be his last year of life. And as you can tell, he walked up here on stage just a minute ago, defying all odds. Amen? As you can tell, his arms are not deformed. He has usable arms. Amen? And you're going to get ready to find out that even though he's crazy, he's got a mind that works. Amen. Praise God for miracles. I'm thankful that even though that the doctors will tell you it's impossible, even though everybody will turn their back on you, I'm thankful that we serve the great and mighty physician. I'm thankful for an all-knowing God. And I'm thankful that we serve somebody that loves the unlovable and cares for the uncareable. Those that nobody wants. Those that everybody has abandoned. Everybody's turned their back on. That's who he loves the most. He finds strength in our weakness. And Brother Chad, he's a preacher. You know, I don't want to steal a whole lot of his thunder. And this is on my time, okay? I promise we'll get you out here quick. I know we got a beeline to Cracker Barrel, the Waffle House. I haven't eaten yet, so I want to get out of here soon. Okay, I'm right there with you. But Brother Chad, you come, you say what God has put on your heart, and you sing a couple, amen?
Well, he said I would never be alive, and he's right. My mom told me a story a couple weeks ago, and it meant the heart to me. be here. I wouldn't be saved. I wouldn't. People, I look back and people party all the time, and I don't have to party because I have a family that loves God, and I go to school, and it really hurts me because I see people that always want the only thing they want to do is party, drink, and alcohol, and I know what it means because if you drink alcohol, it's the worst thing. God's not good to me.
Amen.
I know He took my story, and it means a lot because. If it wasn't for God, I would be in hell. I'd be a drug dealer. I would be a
Amen.
The worst person in the world. But the grace of God.
Go ahead, Brother Chad.
He can come by your way. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're white. He loves all of y'all.
Amen.
As the world looks upon me as I journey along, they say I have nothing. But they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know
Amen.
I'm not wealthy. And these clothes, they're not new. I don't have a lot of money. But Lord, I have you. And for me, that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. As the world looks upon me, as I journey along, they say I have nothing. But they are so wrong.
Amen.
In my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. As I go to sleep each night, sure I have my share of hard times. By my side is always good, but through it all, God's been good. God's been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. He loved was my beginning, and then no.
You're good. Keep on, man.
I'm gonna preach on that. He put shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. He died on the cross for all of us. And Amen. Sometimes I wonder why God did this for me.
Amen.
If He didn't give me my house, my cars, my school, my parents, you know what He gave me? He gave me a cross. He died on the cross.
Amen.
He can take my clothes. He can take my shoes. He can take everything. But you know, the devil can't take my Savior.
Amen. Praise God.
You know, the devil can't say, you better be thankful for what you got in your life. Because there's no way.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shoot, man.
Amen. Blessing. Amen.
That's some gas right there, man. You need a little oomph in your step to serve God. Just listen to that for a little bit. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Because if Brother Chad can say something like that, if he can stand up in front of y'all and preach a little bit and sing his heart out to his Savior, I believe I ought to be able to do a little bit as well. Amen. I want to give all I got to Christ. Amen. He's worthy of it this morning. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful to be here this morning. And I'll get to preach it in just a little bit. Amen. Let's just have church this morning. Amen. We're here at church, so let's just have it this morning. Let's just worship. Let's let everything go, everything out in this world, just let it go this morning. And let's have God want what He wants, and that's you. Just be a willing vessel.
Amen.
If you got your Bibles, Luke chapter number 19, Luke chapter number 19. I love your pastor. He's one of my dearest friends. And I'll go and say a word. I promised to him that I wouldn't be that mean. Whenever he was gone, I wouldn't tell too many stories. I'm sorry, I got to get a tissue and take my gum out. My mom would beat me silly if she saw me preaching with gum. I know better than that, amen? How many of y'all got a mama that would beat your hind end if you did something stupid? Amen. Praise God for mamas that love you enough to whoop you, amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Luke chapter 19. Like I said, I told Brother Michael I wouldn't be too mean on him. But I do want to be serious with y'all. Now, listen, if there's anybody in here this morning that's got stories on your pastor, I'm one of them, okay? It takes everything in me, everything in my flesh, to just shut up and not say anything on him. But I do want to be honest with y'all this morning. You have one of the most loving, one of the most compassionate, and one of the most convicted men of God this side of the Mississippi. And I ain't lying whenever I say that. And I promise you each and every single decision and each and every single prayer that that man makes, it is for the best interest of Crossroads Baptist Church. I promise you that. And I just ask that y'all pray for him. I was telling this dear brother just a second ago, your pastor did text me a little bit this morning. Now, them international texts, they're expensive, okay? They're really expensive. So I told him to shut up, quit sending me texts. I didn't want to pay all that much money for it. But he was telling me, I don't want to take away too much of his thunder. You know, we heard that there's already been people saved, and they haven't even started the revivals yet. They haven't even started, you know, the canvassing yet. And that's just the Lord. Amen. Right there. Amen. But I don't want to steal all of his thunder, but God's been blessing. It's going great. It's about 11:30 where he's at right now, so he's snoozing. I guarantee it. He's trying to get a good night's rest. So y'all be much in prayer for him. Amen. I know that he needs it. I've been able to go out on missions trips before in different nations. And I will say this, it is very tedious, it's very trying, but it is very rewarding. And he stands in the need of prayer this morning and this week. So y'all be sure to pray for your pastor. Yeah. Now, I got a quick Sunday school question this morning, Sunday school question. What is today? What is the significance of today? Can anybody tell me? Palm Sunday. That's it. Palm Sunday. Praise God for Palm Sunday. So this morning I already told you the text that we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, but I just want to preach for a moment about the triumphal entry of Christ and the significance that we find in your Bible this morning of Palm Sunday. I just want to get a couple thoughts, a couple hidden gems, if you will, and I'll present them before y'all, then we'll go to Cracker Barrel, amen. Praise God. So if you got your Bibles, Luke chapter number 19, we'll begin reading in verse number 29. Luke chapter 19, verse number 29. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I like this. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning, this wonderful Lord's Day. We ask you, God, that you would touch this service. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful singing and the wonderful testimonies, dear God. I ask you that you be with Pastor Michael, dear Lord, as he's over in the Philippines. You give him a good night's rest right now, dear God. And I ask you that you would just rejuvenate him and get them ready for tomorrow, dear Lord, as they preach what you have given them, dear God. And as they lift up your word, we ask you that you would give them much fruit for their labor and allow many souls to be saved. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for that. And we ask you, God, that you would just allow us to have a good time of service here and worship this morning at Crossroads Baptist Church. I ask you, God, that you would just allow me to get out of the way, dear Lord. And we ask you, God, that you would just show up and show off in a great and mighty way. And we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for it all. And it's in the lovely name of Jesus we do pray. Amen and amen. We see in this passage of Scripture as it begins to talk about the triumphal entry of Christ, that these verses, they're specifically giving us very, very intimate details to this exact transaction of history. And for the next couple moments, I'd like to preach on this thought. What were you expecting? Just what were you expecting? See, many historians, many scholars, and many religious folk, they'll tell you that this didn't really cut it. They'll say that although this was very impactful, although this was very accurate, this is not the true Messiah of God. And many scholars, many individuals that are very well educated, they will bring this very passage before you and try to show you why this is not the Son of God and why this is not the true Messiah. So I ask you this morning, well, what exactly did you expect? What more could you ask for? What more could you want? And I want to show you in this passage of Scripture, using God's Word, using Scripture with Scripture this morning, I want to show you why this is the Messiah. Why this is the very Son of God. Why that when Christ said that He is Jehovah, when Christ said that He is Messiah, whenever He did not shut His disciples up, whenever He allowed them to cry out, why it was significant and why it was the truth. And our first, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that the very first thing that pops out is He's fulfilling prophecy right here. Amen. He's fulfilling the very prophecies that the Messiah ought to fill. And we see that, you know, as you mathematically can figure out, being able to fulfill just 8 prophecies, that's a 1 in sextillion chance. 1 in sextillion. I looked at that number and I thought to myself, there ain't no way that this is right. All right, I graduated from a Putnam County high school, Hurricane High School. Okay, I don't do that great with numbers. And whenever you get more than 9 zeros, I don't know what's up. So I had to Google, how in the world can I actually give a name to this many numbers? And it's a 1 in sextillion chances. That is insane. That is huge. That is astronomical. Almost mathematically impossible. But they can still give a number to it. So it's not, technically. That's what they'll tell you. We see that if one individual would fulfill 48 prophecies, that's a 1 in 10 to the 325th power. You know how many zeros that is? After 10, that's 325 zeros. So I can't even tell you what type of number that is. I just have to trust math this morning. But we see that Jesus, He didn't just fulfill 8 prophecies. He didn't just fulfill 48 prophecies. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fulfilled over 300 prophecies. Math can't even come up with a number for that much. Math cannot even explain how Christ was able to fulfill all of these prophecies. Science cannot explain it. Logic cannot explain it. Education cannot explain it, because it is supernatural. I don't know about you, but I do not want to serve a God that is not supernatural. Amen?
Amen.
We have so many Christians nowadays, and they like to debate all the time. I'm fine with debating. Yeah, I enjoy it every once in a while. Gets the blood pumping, amen? But some of these idiots, these boneheads, I mean, they're wise guys, right? They think they know more than God. They think that they're able to understand God in its totality. That's impossible.
Amen.
That is absolutely idiotic, and that's a waste of time. To even think that you have that much ability. That's stupid. But we find that so many men, so many Christians, so many different religious people, they'll tell you that they're able to calculate all these different numbers, and they're able to figure out that Jesus Christ wasn't as credible as He truly is. And they'll argue with you with all these different numbers, and they'll tell you that, you know what? I don't think God is that supernatural. That's what they'll tell you. Matter of fact, one of the most wisest men to ever walk on the face of the earth, Mr. Benjamin Franklin, he wrote his own Bible. And what he did was he took a Nelson Bible, and he began to scratch out everything that was supernatural in that Bible. And what they call themselves are realist Christians. They're not... You know, they're not going to say that there isn't a God. They believe in God, but they believe in a natural God. They believe in a God that can control the trees and the birds and the sun. They believe in that, but they don't believe that there's a God that called out Lazarus' name and Lazarus came forth from the dead. They don't believe that there's a God that took just a little old boy's lunch, a little lad's lunch of 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, and ended up breaking that apart to feed over 5,000 people. They don't believe that there's a God that was able to be dead for 3 days, lying in a borrowed tomb, and rise again on that third day. They don't believe in that God. But friend, can I tell you, why in the world would you try to box up our God? Why in the world would you try to box Him up in something that is so natural, something that is so explainable? Can I tell you, there is no faith in that.
Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Amen.
How stupid can you be? That's all I got to say this morning. What were you expecting? What were you expecting? I'm truly convinced that these Pharisees that we read about in this passage of Scripture, they wouldn't have known that this was the Son of God if He would have ran up or rode up on a white pony with wings and slapped Him in the face and said, I'm Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They still wouldn't have been convinced. They depended too much upon their own knowledge, upon their own wisdom, upon their own religion, their own works. But we find that Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture, He's fulfilling prophecy here. The first I see is with the colt. This fulfills the prophecy that we find in Zechariah chapter number 3, where the Messiah has to ride in upon a colt that had never been set upon before. Christ broke Him in, amen? So number one, I see that there's a mule in this passage of Scripture. The mule, and I want to take interest with the mule this morning. Let's begin reading verse number 31. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And then it goes on to say right after that, and they brought him to Jesus. So I'd say that that's all they needed to say right there. It worked. Amen. It was good enough. See, you want to know what they had to do? They had to trust and obey. They had to do as they were told. They understood the commandments of Christ and they exemplified that. They acted upon it. And we find that although that if you would put many men in this situation, if your pastor, Pastor Michael, if he said, Brother Chandler, go down the street, there's going to be a van over there in the parking lot that has never been driven before. It's brand new. And all you got to do is walk up to the owners of it and tell them that Pastor Michael is in need of the van. I would say you are psychotic. You are an idiot. Where's the money? How do you expect me to bring this van back? But we find that these disciples, they were given instructions by their authority and they did as they were told. In church this morning, can I tell you that all we have to do is listen to God's instructions, that Holy Bible, and do as we were told. And everything would follow through right after that.
Amen.
Just trust and obey. Trust and obey. But I see in this passage of Scripture, you'll find that Jesus says, and loose the colt. If you got to loose something up, that means he was tied up, right? That means he was bound up, right? Well, we find that this colt, we can resemble our own selves with this colt. See, there was once a time, I went into it just a bit ago, as a four-year-old boy, I was tied up in sin. I was bondaged by sin. There was no way I could get out. There was no way that I would ever receive any help. But you want to know what happened? There was a couple men in my life that was sent by Jesus to come and loose me. Hey, I'm thankful for the messengers of God that have came by my way and was able to listen and obey to those commandments. And they didn't say that they were going to do something new. They didn't say that they were going to try something different. They didn't say that they were going to do anything like that. They stuck with the old stuff and it worked. God provided the increase. I'm thankful for those men of God that actually trust and obey. They listen to when God says go. And they loose what needs loosed. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Ain't none of us would be able to be here this morning if it wasn't for somebody sent by Jesus to come by our way. We find that this mule, it had to be unbound. It had to be loosened up. And we find that not only that, we find the question is, well, how in the world am I going to be able to get this mule? How am I going to be able to retrieve it, Christ? Jesus, you're telling me to do this, but how can I get this colt? You want to know what he says? Tell them that the Lord needs it. And I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful that Christ loved us enough to send somebody our way, to share the gospel with us. Amen. Friend, can I tell you that he could have died just for Brother Chad. He could have died just for you. He could have died just for you. He could have died just for me. If it would have just been for one of us, it would have been worth it to Jesus Christ. If it would have just been for one soul to get saved, it would have been worth it all to him this morning. We find that he says, loose it, for the Lord is need of it. The Lord needs you this morning. You may say, Brother Chandler, you know, I'm a young guy. Brother Chandler, I'm an old woman. Brother Chandler, I'm a little too fat to go out soul winning. I've been there before, amen. I've made that excuse up. I ain't the skinniest person in here, amen. We find that we can make all these kinds of excuses in this life. I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you know. God needs you this morning. He saved you for a purpose. He has given us, each and every single one of us in here, that are children of God. He has given us a calling in this life.
Amen.
That's to be a witness. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a piano player. That was good playing, brother. I enjoyed that. I don't care if you're going to be leading the services. I don't care if you're going to be preaching. I don't care what you are going to do in the ministry. God wants you this morning. But are you going to be willing? Are you going to be willing? We find that this colt had to be broken in for the very first time And I can remember the very first time Christ came into my life. Had to be broken in, amen. A lot of things had to change, right? I remember, I couldn't think those dirty thoughts without getting convicted. I couldn't lie to my parents without being chastised by the Holy Ghost. I couldn't go to those places that all my friends would want to go. I had to be separate. I had to be different. Some things had to change in my life. Now, if you study anything about Judaic laws, you'll find that these mules, these colts, they had a curse on them because they were practically useless. What does a colt do? What does a donkey do? They just carry things around. They carry burdens. That's all they're good for. And we find that this colt, this very colt, before it could have ever been purchased by the owners, there had to be a blood sacrifice for that colt. Each and every single donkey that was ever purchased under Judaic law, there had to be a perfect sacrifice in order for that donkey to be purchased. And friend, can I tell you, just as that colt had a sacrifice for him, I'm thankful that each and every single one of us in here this morning, amen, we have a perfect, amen, sacrifice for each and every single person in this world. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to whosoever." That means all. Anybody. It don't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. Amen. We're all precious in His sight. Amen. I'm thankful that there was a day when Jesus Christ looked down and He said, "I'm going to need Brother Chandler. I'm going to need Brother Chad. I need him in my ministry. And I'm willing to be that sacrifice for him." Amen. We see the mule this morning. But secondly, we also see the multitudes. The multitudes. Let's read verse number 36. "And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." For all the mighty works that they had seen. Now there's something specifically hidden in this passage of Scripture. See, they begin to give praise to God for everything that they had ever witnessed under Christ's ministry. I'm talking about they started praising Him for healing the blind man. They started praising Him for allowing the lame to walk again. They started praising Him for raising Brother Jairus' daughter. They started praising Him for raising Lazarus from the dead. They started praising Him for allowing that psychotic man to be unbonded from those demons inside him. They started praising Him for the Mount of Transfiguration. They started praising Him for the feeding of the 5,000. They started praising Him for every miracle that they ever witnessed. Now, see, you'll notice that as you read throughout the Gospels, after these miracles transpired in the present time, Christ would always say, "Go and tell no man." Don't tell nobody at all. Keep your mouth shut. That'd be hard for me. I don't know about you, but if I saw a dead man raise up out of a grave, I'd be crying. I'd be losing my mind. I'd be telling everybody. You best believe I'd be calling up WCHS and WSAZ and giving them my story, amen? I'd be trying to tell everybody about it. But we see that Christ said, "Tell no man." What's the significance in that? Well, we find that Jesus' time had not come yet to be the Messiah.
Amen.
Jesus was the Son of God, amen? There ain't no question about that. And He was destined to be, the Bible says that it was foreordained before the foundations of the world that He was going to die on that cross. But we find that this very day in history, this Palm Sunday that we're reading about, it's the very first day that Christ became the Messiah. We find that as these multitudes, they begin to cry out, they begin to worship Him, and He allows it, finally for the first time in their ministry. And He allows them to worship Him in such a way that only a Messiah can get worshipped. And we find that these Pharisees and Sadducees, they come up to Him and they say, "You got to tell your disciples to be quiet." And He says, "Well, if they ain't going to do it, these stones are going to cry out. The very rocks that were on the ground would have cried out in praise and worship if they would have shut their mouths. Because the Creator of all the entire universe was standing right before them."
That's it.
And He was getting ready. He was preparing Himself to offer as an atonement for the entire world.
Amen.
And we find that in this passage of Scripture that these blockheads right here, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they were trying to throw their little 2 cents in. They were trying to add a little bit of religion in there. And they were trying to ruin everything that Jesus was doing. But it was Christ's day to be the Messiah. It was the very day that God designed in all of history's timeline. You understand that God holds time in His hand? He is the very one that created the hour, the minute, and the second. He is the very one that created morning, noon, and night. We see that God holds time in His hand, and He designed this very day to be the day for His Son to be the Messiah.
Amen.
So if somebody ain't going to do it,
Amen.
He'll get some rocks to do it.
Amen.
And can I tell you, what we're doing here this morning, man, this will tear you down. What we're doing here this morning, what I'm doing, I may look pretty good, amen. I know I'm dapper this morning. I understand. I'm handsome. I got a nice beard. My hair's combed over. I got a double Windsor knot. You know, my shoes are nice and shiny. My pants are creased just fine. I know I look good, amen. I understand. But what I'm doing, y'all don't have to throw roses. It's okay. What I'm doing this morning, it ain't that important. And what I mean by that is God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need anybody here this morning. It's by choice. Amen. I don't know about you, but somebody that gave their every single fiber and every single being in their life for me ought to do the same for Him. Amen. That's the only reason I'm here this morning. But friend, can I tell you, we're not that important. If we're not going to worship the way God designed true worship to be, if we're not going to read His Bible, if we're not going to pray to Him, He'll get somebody else to do it.
Yes, sir.
If you aren't willing, He'll find somebody that is.
Yes, sir.
And if the world runs out of options, the stones will cry out for Him. Amen. That's how useless we are. I don't know about you, but those rocks out there, the gravel that we parked on, can do the very same thing that I'm doing right now this morning. See, to God, all He needs is a willing vessel.
Amen.
That's all He needs. He can get all the glory, all the increase with just a couple pebbles. But I'm thankful He chose me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful that He chose you. I'm thankful that He sent somebody our way to use us this morning.
Amen.
All we got to do is be willing, church. I'm going to keep on saying it until we get a hold of it. We just got to be willing.
Amen.
I see the mule, the multitudes, and lastly, I see the Messiah. The Messiah in His full reign and glory. And we look and begin reading in verse number 41, "And when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in the one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. We find as Jesus Christ, and he says that the nation of Israel doesn't even know the type of peace that they had in thy this day. See, there was a lot of significance in that 24-hour span. Matter of fact, we find that it was extremely significant, and the only prophetic passage of Scripture that we can find to justify this very day is in Daniel chapter number 9, which is the 70 weeks of Daniel. We find that Daniel 9, verse number 26, it talks about how the 69 cycles of 7 years, the 70 weeks, will start whenever the temple begins to be rebuilt. Now we find that in the Old Testament, I love the Bible, amen. I'm thankful for it. It blows me away every time I open it.
Yes,
and I'm thankful that whenever Daniel said that it's going to start whenever the temple gets built, that God knew He needed to give an exact date for when that temple started to get rebuilt. We find over in Nehemiah, as Nehemiah finally gets the instructions, the declaration to begin rebuilding that temple, not only does he give the exact month, the year, he also gives who's reigning during that time. Now, can I tell you why that's significant? He gives the year, he gives the month, and he also gives the exact king that is reigning during that time, so every single historian can go back and look through those documents and find the very day that the rebuilding began. And we find that if you look out through history, that very day is March 14th, 445 B.C., that was the very day Nehemiah got the declaration to start the rebuilding of the temple. March 14th, 445 B.C. Now let me tell you a little bit about Daniel 9, okay? 69 cycles of 7 years is what's going to have to transpire before the Messiah comes. That's what Daniel 9 says. Now I told you I ain't the greatest with numbers. So if y'all got a calculator, you get it out right now. And we're going to get this down to the T. I'm serious. Somebody get a calculator out. 69 times 7. Tell me what it is. 69 times 7. Somebody give it to me. 443. 443 times 360. Now here's why 360. The Babylonian calendar, which is the calendar that Daniel used, the calendar that Nehemiah used, it has 360 days in it. So somebody give me that number. What was it? 443 times 360. 59,480. So what you got? Okay. Now let me show y'all something. I messed up. I told you I wasn't good at numbers. 360 times 7, my bad. Can you do it that way? And then you multiply 69. By 69. There we go. 173,000, 880. 173,880. Okay? So that's 360 times 7 times 69, right? So you take 360 days out of the year. 7 years in 69 cycles. So 7 years have to go by 69 times before the Messiah comes, right? So we find that 360 days in a year times 7 years times 69 is 173,880 days. The date of March 14th, 445 BC. And then you take the Babylonian calendar and you count down 173,880 days. You're going to get to the very day of April 6th, 32 AD. April 6th, 32 AD. Which is the very day that we are looking at here in Luke chapter number 19. April 6th, 32 AD. And we find that Jesus Christ, as He's looking out on Jerusalem and He sees it in all of its glory, He sees each and every single soul in there that's going to reject Him, going to rebuke Him, going to mock Him, and going to persecute Him. And He begins to cry for them. And He says that they don't even know the peace that they could have in their day. They don't even understand the type of torture, the type of torment that they are going to have to endure. And He says that there's going to come a time where there's not even going to be one block left upon another from that rebuilding of the temple. And history already shows that Israel has suffered that time and time again. They've been invaded multiple times. Their temple has been totally destroyed and rebuilt by the Muslims. Talk about a spit to the face to those Sadducees and Pharisees. We find that they endured every single thing that Christ told them that they were going to have to endure. But the thing about it is that as we looked at that mule, He's not only talking to Jerusalem. He's not only talking to Israel. He's talking to each and every single individual here this morning. He has given us a choice, just as He did His own people, whether we're going to accept Him or reject Him. Now, I've tried my best to show you through the Bible why He is what we should be expecting. I don't care if it's not your fancy, if it's not your cup of tea, if you just don't like it all that much, you don't like the shouting, you don't like the screaming, you don't like the hollering, the loud preaching, the loud singing. If you don't like it, you ain't going to enjoy heaven. That's all I got to say. I hope God puts you right beside me, amen. I hope we're neighbors, praise God. I'll be shouting all the way through it, amen. Praise the Lord. I don't ever want to get over what He's done for me. I don't ever want to take for granted my salvation. I don't want to ever take for granted my calling in this life. I want to give every single breath that I got for Him because that's what He did for me. We find that each and every single one of us, we have a decision to make. Are you going to be willing this morning? Are you going to be willing? Or are you going to make Him weep? Are you going to be willing or are you going to make Him weep this morning? It's between you and God. I don't know what He wants you to do in this life, but I believe that God wants each and every single one of His children. Amen. God wants to use us in a great and mighty way, church. And I believe that if we would all just unify as one church body this morning and cry out to God, that He would do a great and mighty work here at Crossroads Baptist Church. So at this time, I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'd like to ask you this morning, if there be anybody in here underneath the sound of my voice, and say, Brother Chandler, you know what? I don't think I've ever asked Christ to come into my heart and to save me. You know, I looking back on it, I don't think I've ever truly put my faith and trust in Him. Is there anybody in here this morning you say, Brother Chandler, you know, I don't know that I truly am saved. Why don't you just slip up your hand? Anybody like that at all? Amen. Praise the Lord. According to y'all's testimony, everybody in here is saved. So I ask you this morning, are you going to be willing? Are you going to be willing to serve Him? He wants you as a vessel. The ball is in your court, if you will. What are you going to do with it? God wants to use you. Are you going to answer Him this morning? I'm going to pray, and if the Lord's speaking to you, why don't you just come up to the altar and let Him deal with you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come before You, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, God, for the message that You gave us this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the story of Your triumphal entry, dear God, and this wonderful Palm Sunday that we're able to celebrate it. We thank You, God, that You can be what we have expected, dear God, and You're so much more. We thank You, Lord, for the love that You give us each and every single day, the encouragement that You give us each and every single day, the guidance that You give us each and every single day. I ask You, God, that You would please just encourage this church, love on them, lead, guide, and direct each and every single one of their footsteps. We ask You, God, that You touch this congregation, that You would allow there to be some willing men and some willing women, dear God, that want to be vessels for You, dear God. We ask You that You would just use them in a great and mighty way, dear Lord. I ask You, God, right now that You would just bind all the hellhounds and bind the devil, dear Lord, and bind all the demons, dear God. And we ask You that You would just allow us to get alone with You and that we would get real with You this morning, dear God. And that we would be able to do great and mighty things for You. And it's in the lovely name of Jesus we do pray and ask it all. Amen. And amen.